Amen. All right. This morning, I want to talk to you about the spirit of faith. And right before we went on the air, there was somebody on the front row mentioned to me and said, are we going to talk about the church again? Well, that's not my intention. I can't promise you anything. I cannot promise you that we won't end up talking about the church. And as a matter of fact, you are the church and we're going to talk about you this morning. So I can promise you that we're definitely going to talk about the church this morning. So I guess we are going to talk about it again. But I want to talk to you about the spirit of faith. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. In fact, if you've been around here long enough, your Bible should probably just flop open to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 22, says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, I want to stop for a second there. Those of you with a King James Bible, it says have faith in God. But if you have a cross-reference Bible, that Bible will say have the faith of God. So we're talking about God's faith. That's very important because we understand that Pastor George has been talking about bulldog faith for the last several weeks. We understand that the faith that we're talking about is not common carnal faith. It's not sit down in your chair and believe that you're not going to fall out of the chair faith. Right? It takes a certain amount of carnal faith to just go about your daily life. I mean, you go outside and you crank your car. You don't go outside and go shit, just hoping that your car will crank. Now, some of you are like, yes, I do. If you're, then glory to God, then we're believing with you for a new car. If that's you, if that's anybody in the room, amen. But there's a certain amount of carnal faith that just allows you to go about your everyday life. Brother Copeland teaches that there's a certain amount of carnal faith that just that men have. But we're not talking about, this scripture is not talking about that faith. It's talking about the faith of God. And we understand that Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that Jesus is the author and the finisher or the perfecter of our faith. And so we're talking about the faith that Jesus authored and the faith that he perfected. The faith that he is perfected, that he has perfected and that is being perfecting or perfected in you. As your faith grows and as your faith develops, it's being brought to a place of maturity. And those of you who, you know, a baby has biceps. Yes. And so do grown men. Yes. And they both work the same. Right. The only difference between a baby's biceps and a grown man's biceps is hopefully that grown man has done something, even if it's just lifting small things, to develop that muscle. And so we understand that faith, while you have the measure of faith when you're born again, you can develop that faith to be able to handle heavier things, heavier loads. Amen? So we're on the same page. We're talking about God's faith. It says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt. Now, Rick Renner has a phenomenal teaching on this word doubt. It's a Greek word that literally means to differ, to waver back and forth, or here's one, to wobble. Now, Pastor Greg and I have gone back and forth with this wobble thing. I won't do it this morning, but it means to wobble. It means to say one thing and then say another, or to be of one opinion and then be of another, or even, and this is important, we're going to get into this as we continue, even to have one mode of thinking and opinion in one area, but a completely different mode of thinking and opinion in another area. All right, so we'll get into that in just a moment, but I think this is a great place to just start to lay some foundation here. If you say you are a Christian and you live by faith in your home, then you have to also say you live by faith in your workplace, in your politics, in your marriage, in your money. It can't be I do the church thing at church. I've heard people say, you know, okay, now listen, we go to church on Sunday. Now, Monday through Friday, and definitely on Saturday, we live in the real world. Well, Jesus said, be in the world, but not of the world. That you're in the world, but that Jesus said, Jesus literally prayed, Father, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you deliver them from the evil one. What you've just said is I do the church thing on Sunday morning, but I go and live in proximity to the evil one the rest of the time. So this says, and actually, the Amplified Bible of verse 22 says, and Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. Constantly. Constant. What does constant mean? It means I'm operating from a place of faith, whether or not when I wake up, when I'm asleep, when I'm at work, when I'm in the voting box, when I'm talking to my children, no matter what I'm doing, I'm operating from a place of faith. Also, remember that the Word of God said that which does not originate from faith is sin. So faith permeates everything that we do. And it's the God kind of faith that should permeate everything that you do and everything that I do. We operate with the faith that Jesus authored. Now, look at verse 23 again. For surely I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt, does not differ, does not wobble in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, I want you to circle in his heart. If you're at home and you're watching this, or wherever you are and you're watching this by media or the network or wherever you're watching it from, take your Bible, write that down, write down this scripture reference. If you have your Bible in front of you, make sure you underline, circle, highlight those words, in his heart. That's going to become important. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Sister Gloria says, believe that you receive them. When you receive something, you take it. I can hand you something. I could hand you this CD set, but until you take it, you didn't receive it. And I believe that God is, I've heard Pastor Terry quote Brother Hagin, says blessings are either coming to you or going past you. I believe that there's blessings coming to us and or going past us. And it's our job to decide which one is happening. You're either receiving it or it's going right past you. I receive it. Amen. I take it. I take it. I take it. You've not received it until you take it. And a lot of people have a waiting posture on God. I'm going to wait until God does it for me. And in that, there is patience and waiting on a move of God. But here's the thing, Christian, you are already in a move of God. You are already in a move of God. The Word of God says that when you pray, you have to believe that you receive it then. You didn't receive it when you got it physically. This is where we get into trouble. And this is where we start to waver, to wobble, to doubt. Because we're waiting on the manifestation and we're reacting to the manifestation. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself in my notes, but what we're going to see is that the true action and reaction of faith is to act and react the moment you receive it. Now, the question is this, when did you receive it? Well, according to the Word, you received it when you prayed. So after you prayed, you believed, you received it. Everything else is thanksgiving for it. And if it doesn't come from the thanksgiving posture, it is from the posture of wobbling. Let me go back over here. See, I tried to start y'all off easy this morning. Everything that, if it's not thanksgiving, if it's not praise, if it's not worship for what it is that you've asked, according to God's word, everything else is differing. So what you're saying is, I prayed for it, but I don't have it. You can't exist in both realms. I prayed for it, which means the word says I have it. But, I still haven't got it yet. I mean, I'm not driving it yet. I'm not living in it yet. My son, my daughter ain't home yet. They're still living out there in the world. No, they're not. No, there is a supernatural place where your child is saved. There's a supernatural place where your child is healed. There's a supernatural place where your body is strong. There's a supernatural location that where you have the house that you're believing for, where you have the car that you're believing for. The Word of God says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, that means that the only way to please God is within faith, which means faith is a location. Are y'all okay? Are y'all with me? Faith is a location. So if faith is a location, you need to locate yourself concerning the things that you're believing according to the Word of God. Where are you? Are you in the place of doubting, or are you firmly fixed because your faith is the substance of what you're hoping for? Which means if faith is the substance of what you're hoping for, guess what you have? Substance. If faith is evidence of what you cannot see, then guess what you have? Evidence. Evidence. This is the part, faith people, where the world looks at us like we're crazy. It is. It literally is. Listen, I got family members, friends that just don't engage in certain conversations with me. They're like, is he going to talk like a crazy person? He going to talk about that thing that he already has, like he already got it. But y'all know he ain't really already got it, so I don't know what's wrong with him. This is that place. But when you pray, you receive. Now, here's the thing. You had to believe that to get saved. Some of y'all prayed, and some of y'all who are watching, you prayed to get saved, but there was still an inclination to do the thing that you used to do. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Amen. Don't get quiet. Don't worry. I'm not going to call it out. It's going to be all right. But what did you have to do? You had to take your salvation by faith, whether you felt like you were saved or not. And once you don't have to go back and get resaved and get resaved and get resaved and get resaved and get resaved. Once you received it by faith, it belonged to you. And it still belongs to you. I got any saved people in the house? Oh, y'all ought to be more excited about being saved. Y'all need me to help you out being more excited about being saved? Being saved means you're prosperous. It means you're healed. It means you're delivered. It means you're set free. It means you're changed. It means you're born again. You're not tied to that old man anymore. You're not tied to his old way of being. You've been made new. You've been made brand new. You've come into a kingdom. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We got to get a little more excited about the fact that you're saved. See, a lot of people think salvation is about not going to hell. Salvation is not about not going to hell. Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth. I'm a kingdom citizen right now. Right now. The kingdom is being done right now. The kingdom is now. Hebrews says now faith is. Amen. All right. Good stuff. Okay. So we've established that faith, the God kind of faith, has to believe and receive and take it, and that we are not to wobble or doubt or differ in our heart. Okay? That's going to become very important. Now, turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to start reading at verse 7. Now, I want you to watch faith. All right? Now, I must prepare you. There are some words that translators put into these scriptures that are in italics. We're going to take them out because I want you to hear it the way it was intended to be heard. All right? Here we go. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't house power. It means that, remember, I told you I got some family members that want to engage in certain conversations with me. I don't need them to. When they see the manifestation of what I already had the manifestation of, and they look at me and go, now you still look like that same dude that grew up in the neighborhood. Hey, you don't look too different. I mean, your haircut's a little different. Then I can point to God and say, it's because of the excellence of the power of my God. Amen.
You're a walking, talking testimony. That's why you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Because people will respond to you and go, huh? It ain't supposed to be you. I remember what you used to do. That's the devil. The devil will always try to remind you of what you used to do to negate what you're doing right now. All you got to do is remind him of what he's going to do. And he'll leave you alone. That's resisting him. That's what the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So let's keep watching this. So those words we are in italics. So you don't have to take it. You don't have to take being hard pressed. So let's take those out. Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Now let's talk about that for a second. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Have you ever held an aluminum can? Yes. Has anyone in here ever crushed an aluminum can? Yes. In order to crush an aluminum can, you have to hard press it on every side. Therein lies just kind of a law of physics. If it's hard pressed on every side, guess what it's going to be? Come on, you can answer. It's okay. Not a trick question. What is it going to be? Crushed. So how is it that we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed? Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. There must be something on us and around us that takes the pressure of what's on the outside of us and expels it outward as opposed to receiving it inward. That's the importance of making sure that when those words are in italics, you take them out to read for the real meaning. We are not hard pressed on every side, because that which is pressing against what's on us, not what's in us. I'm gonna say that one more time. That which is pressing on what's on us, not what's in us. Remember the word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There must be a force, a pressure, substance, some evidence that's on the inside of you that's greater than what's on the outside of you. The only way for you not to crush that soda can, or let me say it this way. The only way for you to crush the soda can is for the soda can to be open and empty. You ever realize that? You ever realize that? I want some of you really, really big, I work out burly men to go and try to crush a soda can that is closed and full. I'm not talking about when you stuck a pin in the bottom and let all the soda out. I'm talking about one that is legit closed and full. Why? Because there's pressure on the inside of that thing that stops the pressure on the outside. So regardless of how great the pressure is on the outside, the pressure that's on the inside, or you could say it this way, the force that is on the inside is greater than the pressure on the outside. A lot of people find themselves in crushed states. Why? Because the force and the pressure of what's on the inside of you has not been developed to meet and match and repel the force that's on the outside of you.
That's good.
That's why it's so important. I'm telling you, when Pastor George is in this series, and if you're wherever you are watching or if you're in the room, listen, you ought to be on the edge of your seat. Why? What's he doing? He's developing what's on the inside of you to repel what's on the outside of you. Because what's on the outside of you is strategic. The Word of God tells us not to be ignorant of the wiles or the schemes or the strategies of the devil. Don't be ignorant of what he's doing. He's going to bring pressure. I'm so tempted to talk about football already, but I'm holding back. He's going to bring pressure. And if we know that he's going to bring pressure, we've got to develop something on the inside of us that's greater than the pressure that's on the outside. Well, listen, the Holy Ghost that you got at salvation and the Holy Ghost that you are baptized in, overflowing with, he's already greater. What you have to develop is your ability to yield to him as opposed to your own inclination to react. Because if the devil can get you to react, he can crush you. Matter, let me re-say that. If the devil can get you to react, you'll crush yourself. You'll crush yourself. You'll crush yourself. For the born-again individual, it's usually not the outside pressure that crushes you. It's usually an implosion. Any of you ever heard somebody say, I had a breakdown? I had a breakdown, or I just crumbled? Why? Well, it was the pressure tempting you, but you decided to receive the pressure that brought on the breakdown. It was an implosion. Why? Because if you would yield to what's on the inside of you, what's on the inside of you is greater than what's on the outside of you. And here's the kicker. What's on the inside of you makes what's on the outside of you subject to you. You try to squeeze that soda can with one hand. Guess what's going to give up first? Your hand. Because what's on the inside of that can is greater and forces that which is carnal to fold. What if you could get every natural circumstance to react to you that way? Well, you can. It's called the force of faith. Let's keep reading. Hard pressed. Let's go back. I'm going to make sure we get keep context. Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair, which means you've had some issues, but you're not taking the issues on as your own. You're rolling that care over onto the Lord. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Now watch this. In your Bible, you're taking out we are. You took we are out of two statements, but then the translators started taking it out because they wanted you, just to maintain the English language, they wanted you to understand you are the subject. Well, here's the thing. You are not the subject. It's the perplexity. It's the crushing that is the subject. You are not crushed. You are not in despair. Watch this. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Look at the work of faith. Look at the force of faith on the inside of you. Always caring about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to make sure you read this correctly. He just said the way he wants you to read it. Always caring about in our body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, who's dying? You or Jesus? You're caring about the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus, the death of, make sure you read it that way, because you can start reading, oh, we got to die to ourselves. Well, yeah, there is an element of that. You do have to die to yourself. But when you die to yourself, you don't just die, you take on his life. Okay, make sure you hear that. When you die to you, you don't just die to yourself. You die to your carnal nature. You die to your carnal inclination. You die to your carnal base from which you were living before. But when you die to yourself, you take on his life. You take on his person. You take on, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You take on the identity of Jesus. You are just like him. Remember the word says, as he is, so are we in the earth. I want you to read these scriptures, but see it in this light. You're just as alive as he is. Amen. Come on, that ought to help somebody. That ought to help you. That ought to help you in your physical body. Listen, if you're having arthritis, my arm, my hand, my leg is just as alive as Jesus's arm, Jesus's hand, and Jesus's leg. The glorious thing about Jesus is we have a man in the Godhead, and his body was raised, and he's in his body. So I'm trying not to preach. I'm going to get back over here behind the desk. But listen, if he's got an arm, if you've got an arm, he's got an arm, and your arm is as his arm. Amen. He's got a heart. Your heart is as his heart. Amen. He's got a leg. He's got a foot. He's got whatever body part you're having an issue with. He's got one. You carry about the death of Christ in your body, but the life of Christ is what's making your body whole. Remember, the Bible says the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also quicken and make alive your mortal body. You can't wobble from that. You can't allow that to be crushed. You can't allow that disposition, you to be moved off of that disposition. I know it's kind of it requires practice and development of your faith. Now, we're 20 minutes into this thing. I'm still on the preamble. All right. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. You got that? For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. You get life in your mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Let's watch this. And since we have the same spirit of faith, underline that. Now we're into it. We've laid our groundwork. Now we're into it. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I speak, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now, I want to stop here for a second. Verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith. Now, Brother Copeland has one of the most awesome teachings on the spirit of faith. It's one of my absolute favorite. I have a rotation of teachings from Brother Copeland that I put on a yearly basis. And then I have some that sustain me throughout the year, right? There's some that I got to listen to no matter what. All right. And this is one of the ones that I have to listen to no matter what, no matter what. That doesn't mean I only listen to them once a year. It just means that I have it's on a timetable. I don't care what I'm doing. At a certain point in the year, I listen to this teaching. Right. This teaching is one of the most awesome teachings. Here's why. Because that statement, the same spirit of faith, is not necessarily talking about the Holy Ghost, who is the spirit of faith. He is the spirit of faith. But it's talking about the spirit of faith in terms of the spirit, the atmosphere, the spirit of the team, the spirit of the core, the spirit of what you're doing, or the spirit of the body of Christ. And this is where we talk about the church a little bit, because the church ought to be characterized by the spirit of faith. There ought to be a spirit of faith when you walk in the door. Let me get real specific. EMIC, there ought to be a spirit of faith when someone walks through our door. Amen. Now, in order to accomplish that, the Bible says faith works by, which means there ought to be a spirit of love when you walk through the door. Amen. To accomplish that, the Bible says that God is love. So the spirit of God ought to be present when someone walks through the door. See how it works together? People ought to know that they're not at your regular everyday establishment when they walk through our doors. Amen. There ought to be the spirit of faith, the spirit of faith, the spirit of faith, the spirit of faith. I can sense the spirit of faith. In fact, this belongs to somebody else this morning. Anybody want you? I love you. Faith takes it. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you're watching and you want one, we carry them in our bookstore. You can contact our bookstore. But I'm just telling you that that spirit of faith ought to characterize what we do. Here's the deal. Now I can talk about football. I'm at that part. I was at a high school football game one evening, and it was a game over at Boswell High School. And to put it mildly, they were losing. I'm talking bad. They were down by 3 touchdowns, and it was the fourth quarter. We got some work to do, right? The seniors of that class got out of the stands. They all sat. We, because of our relationship with the school district, we sat over with the seniors, because a lot of those seniors were 1440 on campus leaders. And so we kind of sat there, and I go to a lot of high school football games. Even now I go to a lot of high school football games. And so the seniors from that class got up out of the stands and they walked down front. And they begin to jump on these metal bleachers, these bleachers that kind of went up like this. And they begin to jump up and down and they begin to shout, "I believe that we will win." Now, at first statement, it caught my attention. Why? Well, because I'm a faith man. I'm looking for faith. And you got to have some serious faith to be down 3 touchdowns and stand up and walk down and stand on metal bleachers and start to chant, "I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win." Say it. I believe that we will win. 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 It went over and over and over and over and over. The cheerleaders stopped cheering what they were cheering and started chanting, "I believe that we will win." The band stopped playing what they were playing. And the band changed. The cheerleaders changed. The stands changed. All of the students began to chant it. Everybody who was on that side began to chant it. The other side started looking over going, "Now, what is that?" They were on defense. The players began to chant. The players began to jump up and down. You saw players walking to the sidelines doing this. They got an interception, got the ball back. 2 plays, they scored. Went on defense again, stopped them, 4 and out. Got the ball back, 2 more plays, they scored. Went on defense, stopped them, got the ball back, marched it down the field, they scored. The game is tied. Now, at this point, you would think, okay, we can stop chanting, right? Because the game's tied now, we're going to be all right. Oh, no. They got louder. "I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win." They scored again. See, you're getting it. You're getting it. Like you're starting to sense it and feel it. It's, man, this competition, this is competition, right? This is grit. This is who's going to come out on top. You got to have a win or go home attitude. They scored again. They go, that's the go ahead score. Then they score again. Wow. 2 minutes left in the game. They score again. They beat this team by 3 touchdowns when they were down by 3 at the fourth quarter. What changed? The entire atmosphere of the stands and all of the people in the stands and all of the players and the cheerleaders and the band. If you were a squirrel underneath those bleachers, you were singing, "I believe that we will win." Why? Because they controlled the atmosphere with a spirit of faith. They controlled the atmosphere with a spirit of faith. There was a spirit of faith about the thing. And it was making sure that they grabbed control of and made sure that what they believed was reflected in the atmosphere through what they said. And 1 Corinthians, let's roll over there real quick. I wasn't going to read it yet, but let's go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 10. Says this, Paul's writing to the what? The church at Corinth. The church at Corinth. Make sure you see that. The church at Corinth. And he says this, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." What were those seniors doing? They got everybody saying the same thing, pushing the same direction, not just with the football, but with their faith. I don't even know that those students understood what they were doing. We took the opportunity to make sure we taught the 1440 on campus there that, listen, what y'all did was an act of faith. Because you were losing. They changed the atmosphere through what came out of their mouth. Amen. Now, flip your Bible back over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to pick up in verse 16, but I want to read it to you in the Passion Translation. Watch this, watch the spirit of faith. Watch what happens with the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 in the Passion Translation. This is what happens with the I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. I went home chanting that. I drove home chanting that. I was woke up the next morning chanting that. I found that that was an actual song. I played the song over and over and I believe that we will win. I'm not even playing football, but I was believing that I was going to win. Look at it. Verse 16 in the Passion Translation. So no wonder we don't give up. Wow. We having this same spirit of faith. I believe and therefore I spoke. They didn't say I saw, therefore I spoke. Verse 13 didn't say I saw and therefore I spoke. He said, I believe and therefore I speak. So we also believe and therefore we speak. Verse 16, the Passion Translation says, no wonder we don't give up. For even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is renewed every single day. And everything that is on the inside of you is informing what's on the outside of you. So even if your outer being is tired, your inner being is ready. It's got a red hot expectation for the things of God. And what's going on the outside of you is merely the pressure trying to crush you. But what's on the inside of you is greater than what's on the outside of you. And it's repelling that pressure. So no wonder we don't give up, for even though our outer person wears out, our inner being is renewed every single day. Go to 17. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in light of eternity. Yes. We view our slight, short-lived troubles. You can tell your trouble how long to last. You can get so used to being in trouble that you allow yourself to be in trouble. You can get so used to being in despair, so used to being in perplexity that you allow yourself to exist in that. Well, I just got to bear underneath this. And I know at some point it's going to end. And so I'm just going to hold on underneath. No. We view our slight. Stop giving your troubles too much credit, too much power, too much influence. Oh, this is just hard. I don't know if I can take this. Well, you can't now. Shift that confession and then you can. And then you can. Now, people will look at you and say, listen, you're being too religious on this. You're being too religious about this thing. Well, when you get serious about living by faith, what'll happen is from the outside looking in to other people, you might look religious. But from the inside out, faith is working by love. Just means you've established a different standard. You've established, I'm not telling you that you gotta hear my heart in this. I'm not saying that you walk around holier than thou. Well, you know, I'm doing it better than them because I live in faith. No. But what does the word say? As for me and my house. You got to set that as for me and my house standard. I was so excited this morning. My 10-year-old went to go get me coffee from the passage. And she came back and it took her a long time. I was like, what's going on? She waited in line and got me coffee from the passage. And when I got it, she looked at me and she said, Daddy, I paid for it with my own money. And I knew she had her wallet out and I know she has money. She also knows that she can use my account to pay for whatever she gets from the passage. But she wanted me to know I paid for it with my own money. And I almost said, oh, baby, you shouldn't have done that. But I stopped myself. Now, it made me want to cry a little bit, but I stopped myself. Why? Because we've been teaching our children sowing and reaping.
Amen.
So as a dad, I had to lean over, give her a kiss on her forehead and say, hundredfold return to you. 100-fold return. And she was expecting it. What is that? That's that spirit of faith that's cultivated in my house. Glory to God for that. It's your job to cultivate the spirit of faith in your house. It's your job to cultivate the spirit of faith in your workplace. Next week, we're going to talk about three parts of the spirit of faith that need to be necessary, or that, let me say that with correct English, that are necessary for every believer. But it's your job to cultivate and establish that spirit of faith. It's okay for you to walk into your house and I believe that we will win. Get the bill. Look, do whatever you got to do. Get the bills together. Pile them up on the table and just start speaking. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. The bills will start. What? Huh? Yes, you will win. You will definitely win. Let's keep reading now. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal weight. Look at that, the pressure, that force. Weight, weighty glory, far beyond all comparison. Now, you got to make sure you read this correctly. Now, it says that those difficulties produce that weight. But here's the thing. Remember in scripture where he said, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. When you entered into the kingdom called with his purpose supersedes the purpose of every other force in your life. And the force of faith in his purpose for your life will always supersede every other purpose. So even if you suffer a trial, that trial, A, did not come from God. That test did not come from God. That's Old Testament thinking. Listen, he doesn't have to test you anymore. His spirit is in you. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He doesn't have to test you anymore. The enemy, the devil. Listen, I got 4 minutes. Let me make sure I got the ability to do this. You were created, reborn in his image and in his likeness. Adam was created in his image and in his likeness. The fall, he forfeited. But everything that Adam forfeited, Jesus came to get you back. Everything, not a secondary version of it, but the original intent. Now, when the devil sees you as a born again believer, he sees Jesus. Here's the problem. He sees Jesus. He wants to know if you're going to sound like Jesus. Why? Well, because God spoke the worlds into existence. He calls those things that are not as though they were. So God has a distinct voice and a distinct way of talking. Now, what confuses the enemy is the devil looks at you and he sees Jesus. So now the test is, are you going to say what Jesus says? Remember when Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say? The significance of that is words always create no matter what. Why? Because that is the method of creation in all existence. Words create no matter what. So whatever you say creates something. Oh, you got to watch it now. Whatever you say creates something. Oh, that means I got to. Now, Pastor John, you're being a little too extreme. Well, the Bible's extreme. That's what the word says. Remember Mark 11, 23, that's 20, 22, 23, 24. Isn't that what we just read? You'll have what you say. You'll have what you say. I had a dream once where Brother Copeland and I were sitting knee balls to knee balls, and he looked at me with his finger and said, you'll have what you say.
Amen.
And he did it 3 or 4 different times. You'll have what you say. Well, everything that you say creates something. It creates something. And if everything you say creates something, the devil looks at you and he sees Jesus. But the test is to see if he can get you to wobble or to differ or to doubt and speak the doubt. So if you don't sound like Jesus, he doesn't have to treat you like Jesus. But if you look like Jesus and you sound like Jesus, he's got to respond to you like Jesus. That's why the word of God says resist him and he will flee. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? Away from me, Satan. When you say away from me, Satan, he doesn't hear your voice. voice, he hears the voice of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Woo. Now, this is important. Why is this so important? Because as the body of Christ, that spirit of faith will keep you saying the same thing that Jesus says. I'm serious. I woke up that next morning. I believe that we will win. I couldn't say anything else. Why? It was so in me. It took no time to let that thing get in me. Let me tell you something. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The proportion at which you devote yourself to hearing is the proportion at which it will come out of you. I'm really glad we got a part two of this, because I got some more to tell you. But I'm just telling you that you remember in the word where it says, out of the abundance of the heart. Out of the abundance. Remember, I had you don't doubt in your heart. That's what, let's walk back over there real quick. We got 1 minute. Let's walk back over there real quick. Mark 11. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Why? Because if you doubt in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If you doubt it in your heart, you're going to say it. But if you believe in your heart, if you believe in your heart, that's how you were saved, wasn't it? Believe in your heart and you confessed it with your mouth. If you believe in your heart, then you'll have what you say. Now, we'll get more into this next week. But I want you to just leave here with this thought process, with this disposition, as Pastor George brings a word on bulldog faith. Leave here with this disposition. I believe. That's okay. You can say what we will win. I believe that 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 we will win. Some of y'all are saying that and you've been losing. But what you're doing is you're building that pressure, that force of faith that's going to repel that crushing. And you'll be crushed no more.
Hallelujah.
You'll be crushed no more. Amen. You get something out of that this morning? Yes. Glory to God. All right. We'll take a quick break. Actually, we're going to let you guys take a quick break on the network. And then I want you guys to hang back just a minute. I got something for you. We're going to let you guys take a quick break on the network, and then we'll be back shortly.